Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
If you'll remember back, we began with Rick Watts speaking to us about the history and the character of the Holy Spirit, the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Then we looked at Acts chapter 2, and we looked at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then last week, Luke was speaking about the gifts of the Spirit. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to share story. And you know, if you've been here for a while, that story is important to us. It's our narrative. It's how we connect with Jesus and we testify about that. And so we've got three from our community who are going to be sharing their personal stories today and their own unique encounter with the Holy Spirit. And you'll see that as they tell their stories, that each story is a little different than the other. They're all unique. But the common thread throughout is the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So they're going to be sharing. So we have Kobe Ellis. There are their pictures up there. And then we have Brandy Reimer. And then we have Ruben Kramer. Kobe, it looks like you've just stepped off the set of a movie. Ruben doesn't look so much like that. But yeah, so we're there he is over there. So we're really delighted to have stories shared. And, you know, these are moments that are so important for us because we learn from one another. And really that is the point of our entire series and certainly the point of a sharing story. So I'd like you to give Kobe Ellis a warm welcome. Kobe is on our leadership council.
Super. Thanks, Doug. It's funny, I keep bringing this and I still haven't looked at it. I don't know if you guys have looked at your notes yet or not, but it's hilarious. It's like a little warm blanket, just kind of keep my little blankie. So anyhow, thanks, Doug. I was actually thinking about it earlier. I appreciate how Doug and the Leadership Council are choosing to talk about this topic because a lot of churches don't talk about this. They don't want to approach this subject of baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism with fire and all those things, or tongues for that matter. And I really appreciate you guys going down this road. It's awesome. So for me, I was born again when I was 26. Right away, I was hungry for God. This experience, there was something different, obviously. It's not just about going to church on Sunday and a part of the club. There's something here. We have a supernatural God. This has got to be something supernatural. And I just got super hungry for God. The church had a little library, and I was reading every book that was in the library, theological, historical, everything. I just so wanted God, anything to do with him. I consumed everything that was in their library, so I went to the Regent College bookstore, not library, went to the bookstore. I didn't buy any books, but I read all their books. So I basically knew everything they knew. So then at that point, I still wanted more. I was still hungry for more. And I just had such a desire inside. And then something inside me was telling me, there is more, there's more, there's more. And at that time, there was some revival Holy Spirit meetings that were happening at another church right at that time that I got born again. And I had a friend who was going to these meetings, and he would come back to the other church that I was at. And I would just look on his face was just such, like, all I could describe it is like the fruit of the Spirit, like the love, the peace, the joy was in his face. And I'm looking at him like, wow, what is that? Like, and he's just like, well, I'm at these meetings and it's filling with the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, wow, I want that. If that's God, I want that. So I started to attend these meetings at this alternate church, and they were pretty much meeting 6 days of the week. It was a full-on revival thing going on there, and it was just wonderful being there. And the teaching was really, really good. I mean, the teaching strictly was about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism of fire and tongues, and that was strictly what it was about. And so I was learning more and more and more. My faith was just busting through the seams, and I was just, oh, I just want this. Whatever the thing is, I just want it. I understand it. I get it kind of from the Bible. I want this thing. And at one service, the minister called everybody up who wanted to be baptized in fire. So I was like, okay, sounds interesting, but you know, I want this thing. So I went up to the front and I was kind of down at the end. I was the last person, and there was like 8 or 9 other people beside me. And the minister went up to the first person, touched the person's head, touched, not smack, just touched, and said, fire. And what I saw was, which you see in the Old Testament, the priests would come in the presence of the Lord and they would all fall down because the presence of God was so strong. That person hit the ground. Wow, that's interesting. Wait a second, I'm in line. Hold on a second. I started getting a little concerned. Second person, same thing, fire, boom, and all I'm just, oh my goodness. God, whatever, this is you, I want you. That's all I want is you, I just want you. And the next person, every single person, the same thing, fire, boom, came to me, arms up in the air, whatever. God, I love you. Placed his hand on my head and just said, fire. The only way I can describe it is from Ephesians 3:19, where Paul was praying that we would be a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. That's from the Amplified Version. So just was flooded with the presence of God and fire. And you take like, you picture like a sponge, right? A sponge is a sponge, and then you put it in water, you take it out. Well, it's still a sponge, but it was just, now it's sopping wet with water. Same thing. Like God came down, not just on, but in, and filled up, and warmth and love and just everything. And the next thing I knew, I was on the floor. What happened? My knees got weak, I guess. And I just, boom, I was on the floor, didn't even notice. And I'm just laying there in the presence of God. And it was so strong and so wonderful. And I knew that this wasn't just like, oh, I just fell on the floor. That was fun. No, no, there was something else going on here. The Holy Spirit was doing a deep work inside of me. He was ministering to me. He was doing stuff in me that all those books, which were really great, historical, theological, all that kind of stuff was really, really good. This was real, tangible. This is the creator of the universe coming inside and doing stuff. Like, this was amazing stuff. My experience with tongues. I was laying in my bed one night, and I was just laying there. I'd heard about tongues, I'd read about tongues, studied it, all that kind of stuff, and I wasn't so sure what this was all about. And I was just laying there one night, and I remember just having this tremendous love for God, and I just started speaking out loud. I'm like, God, I just love you. You're just so wonderful. I just let you just, you know, there's just not enough words in the English language to describe how wonderful you are. And I heard a voice say, why don't you pray in tongues? And at first I was like, no, I don't know how to do that. I'm not so sure. No. Tremendous love again. God, I just love you. You're just so wonderful. You're just so amazing. You're so beautiful, and I love you. And you know, it's so funny. There really isn't enough words in the English language to describe how wonderful you are. Why don't you pray in tongues? And so I decided, there was nobody around. I'm just all by myself. And I'd heard it a few times, studied it and whatever. And so I thought, yeah, I'm going to give this a shot. So I decided to make a sound out of my mouth, and the sound became a sentence. It became more and more and more, and I probably went on straight for at least 30 minutes. And what I felt immediately was the presence of God was so strong, and I knew what I was saying. I wasn't just making up words. It was just flowing out of me, and I knew I was describing the beauties of God. I still can close my eyes. I can picture what I'm seeing, but I can't tell you the words of what I'm saying, because you can't describe how beautiful he is. He's more beautiful than the flowers of the field. And I knew what I was saying, and I was just worshiping him through tongues. And it was just an amazing, amazing experience. What's happened since then? The Holy Spirit, when he comes to infill you, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all that stuff. Well, prior to that, I think for me, it was very much like, okay, you're born again. Now you need to be more peaceful. You need to have more joy in your life. It was kind of like a work thing. You got to like do this thing. Well, it's not the fruit of Kobe. It's the fruit of the Spirit. With the infilling of the Holy Spirit, all that stuff just flows out of you. A river of living water comes out of you, and it's just all of a sudden, now I'm more, wow, Kobe, you're so patient. Well, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit in me, and it's just flowing out of me. The biggest thing for me is probably tongues, is praying in tongues. It's a daily thing for me. I pray in tongues. I've come to realize that God is way smarter than me. I've come to realize that God knows more about situations than I do. I cannot know enough to know about something. What is your name? Kaylee? Kaylee, good. Kaylee, never met Kaylee, obviously. I don't know who she is. If somebody says, go pray for Kaylee, great. I'll pray for Kaylee. I say, Kaylee, awesome. God bless you. That's about as far as it goes. I don't know anything about her life, her situation, her future, her past. I don't know anything. But when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying through you. And he's praying for her with you, partnership with you, praying for her. And he's doing something for her with her and her life and everything around that I don't know what's going on. Maybe he'll tell me. Maybe he won't. Doesn't matter. I'm praying for her. I have two examples before I go. One of them is a girl that we knew. We were just kind of sitting around, and all of a sudden she had this like rash thing going on in her eyebrow. And she's like, would you guys just pray for me? I was like, yeah, sure, well, I'll pray for you. So go to pray for her. God, just thank you for healing her eyebrow rash thing, whatever. And I started praying in tongues. And I just really sensed the Holy Spirit was saying, through the tongues, was saying there's something else going on here. So I kind of stopped and I just said, you know what? Did something change? Did you change something to do something? She stood up, went to the bathroom, she chucked something in the garbage, and she came back out. And I said, what happened? She goes, I had just recently bought a new little brush for her eyebrow. Apparently girls do eyebrow brush things. So it's like some sort of like horsehair brush thing. And she's like, I know exactly what it is. It's the horsehair. It's causing the rash. And I was like, perfect. So it wasn't necessarily about the healing. It was the wisdom of God, which came through the tongues, to show her that it was about the brush. Another example I'll tell you is there's another fellow at church that I was aware of. I didn't know him very much, like Kaylee here, don't know her. But I was just felt impressed to pray for him one night. I was praying for him in my language, just English, and I go, bless him, whatever. And then I started praying in tongues because, you know, that's better. So I was praying in tongues, and pretty soon after I started, I just started crying. I just had this tremendously emotional weeping for this individual who I don't know. And I'm praying for him for a long time. And I was done. And to me, it's like when you're praying in tongues, it's kind of like a cup when you kind of finally pour it out, now it's empty. Now I know I'm done. Now it's whatever it is I'm praying for, it's finished. The following week, I find out that that day that I was praying for him, I believe it was that day that I was praying for him, was a day that he was making the decision to stop being an alcoholic and to stop drinking alcohol and to get free from that. And so I believe God was asking me to partner with him to help this individual get over and to make that decision to break free from alcoholism. So God is partnering with us through prayer. And I was reminded with Randy and Ruben that, you know, they're both ministers, they're both pastors, and tongues isn't about them. Like, I know they're going to share about it as well. It's not about that. Like, this is, I sit down all day, I do this all day. Click, click, mouse, click. I'm not a pastor. I work in the business world, I do stuff, but tongues is completely essential. Like, you need the wisdom of God for things. Like, if you don't know what word you're going into, I know another fellow, he's in the business world, been there for years, works for the Workers' Compensation Board, not quite sure, but can't tell you how many times he shared stories of me when he's going into a business meeting, not an awesome business meeting, and he gets out to his car and he just prays in tongues for however long. He goes back into the business meeting and it's just totally peaceful. It's for him as well as the people around him. And just, it's praying in tongues is just God entering into our lives. We're partnering with him, praying in stuff that we don't know what we need to pray about. He does, and just makes stuff happen. So that's it. And here is Brandy.
Isn't it so encouraging to hear what God is doing in other people's lives? Even if their experience is different than ours, doesn't it build our faith? Isn't it good to do that corporately? I feel so encouraged by hearing what God is doing in the lives of those around us and in our community. My first real, obvious, undeniable encounter with the Holy Spirit happened when I was 15. That's when I came to faith in Jesus. I had gone to teen camp. Actually, Darcy and Leanne know this teen camp. I went kind of reluctantly with friends. I was in a really desperate place in my life. My family was in shambles. I was pretty depressed. I was feeling very alone. I was sad. And I knew that I needed something very significant to happen in my life, but also just in me. And I hoped that this would be the starting point for that. So for me, music has always kind of been an important part of my life. It's been a safe place. And when I can't articulate my plight or my feelings, I feel like music can do that for me. So from the first song of the first service, that first chapel, I was engaged. Like, I was locked in. I was ready. And I feel like I was open to whatever God might have for me. And I remember feeling like my whole body was kind of vibrating and heavy and shaking, and not in a weighty way, not in a burdensome way, but more just aware that the presence of God was so real to me in that moment, was starting to work in me and around, was just sort of tangible around me. And so music ended. I went and sat back down in my seat, and somebody gave a message. I have no idea what it was about. I can't recall the words spoken. But it was profound, I guess, because I responded in some sort of altar call. So I responded to that, and along with many other people that summer, we stayed long into the night in the chapel, and God really did meet me there. I remember awkwardly muttering some words, like Kobe talked about, to myself, that I later learned was tongues, and it wasn't just me contriving it, and that became a significant part of my life moving forward. I also... I felt so aware that God had given me boldness. And so that looked like praying for other people that same night around me who I didn't know, with boldness and certainty that God was guiding that time, was speaking through me. He was giving me pictures for them to people I didn't even know, really pointed words for them. And this was very profound for me because I came in very shy and very led by anxiety. I would often feel like panicked. My heart would race all the time up until that point. And I was struggling so much just to get through my everyday life. And that changed in an instant for me. For me, it was very dramatic. I literally left camp changed and free from struggles that I couldn't shake beforehand. And I happened to have a really excellent youth pastor who saw gifts in me and gave me opportunity to grow in them. So that was really important for me. The Bible does say that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I have experienced that. When the Holy Spirit came to the disciples, he baptized them, giving them tongues, but then he also empowered them with boldness to go forward, knowing what to say, what to do, and to do it with authority and certainty that God was with them and the presence of God was with them. And for me, that was my experience. The rest of my high school days, I got to see friends and teachers come to faith. And it was a very important time of my faith development. I haven't experienced anything quite like those nights at camp since, not in that way, but God knew what I needed when I needed it. And he gave me that those chances to experience him in that way as a landmark that I can reflect back on. And it's been motivating and compelling, and it's been what I've needed for then and even for now as I look back. Because God isn't doing that kind of dramatic work all of the time doesn't mean he's not present in my life still. He definitely is. He gave me what I needed at that time, a great gift, and he continues to do that for me now. And, you know, I've really come to depend on those times with the Holy Spirit. I notice it in conversations with people when there's verses that come back to your mind. Some of you know what I'm talking about. When those verses come back just at the right time for the right person, that's the Holy Spirit bringing those back to us. It's when you have wisdom and insight into people's lives that are far from God, teachers and friends and parents and neighbors. It's when Jill and I are parenting our kids and God gives us insight into what they need in that moment. That's the Holy Spirit at work. It's also when we're leading and pastoring and God gives vision forward and just continues to develop the character in us that we need to be able to move forward. All of that is the Holy Spirit living and working through our lives. And I know that the Holy Spirit has really come and have come to know him as my helper and my counselor. And he's always pointing to Jesus, and I'm so thankful for that. When David was kind of found out about his sin with Bathsheba, he wrote Psalm 51, and in there he wrote the words, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Don't take your presence from me. And I feel like I resonate with that. I have needed those moments with God for him to bring peace to me when struggle after struggle has really come. Those times alone with God's presence have given me peace and certainty that he has not only freed me from my sin and my wrongdoing, but he has empowered me with purpose and with peace and also with hope moving forward. The Holy Spirit certainly gives us those special moments, and they're important. God knows when we need them. And he also is just a part of our life every day as we move forward. And my hope would be that as living waters, and as we move forward, that having the Holy Spirit a part of our lives and how we think and act and as we pray and encourage one another, that it would be natural, and that the baptism in the Holy Spirit wouldn't be something to be feared, but it would be a source of empowerment for us as the body of Christ growing and expanding and moving forward. Bless you.
I would say my experience is a little bit different than Brandy and Kobe's. I was born into a Christian family, and so it wasn't something that kind of came out of becoming a brand new Christian. And so as a kid, I attended a Christian Reformed church. And so if you know much about the Christian Reformed church, they don't talk a lot about this. And so I didn't know anything about it. And until I was about 13 years old, my parents brought me to another church. What was happening at that church was very similar to kind of what Kobe explained in his first experience. And as a 13-year-old who had no understanding, hadn't heard no teaching, or even probably read much of the Bible at all, I did not understand what it is that I was experiencing and what I saw happening to people. And so I very much pushed it away. I honestly was just like, this is weird. And this is uncomfortable, and I do not want anything to do with this. I don't know why people are falling over like this, or I don't know why this is happening, but it is definitely not for me. And so it wasn't a great experience because I was never actually told what was going on. I just saw this stuff happening that was really supernatural, but to me, it just was just weird. So it was hard for me because after that, I kind of was like, okay, you know, I don't want to go there anymore with my parents. And so I kind of pushed away. I didn't really attend church in high school. And kind of in my later years of high school, I met some friends that were part of a youth group, and they invited me to come out. And the youth group happened to be a part of a Pentecostal church. And so as I got involved in that youth group later in high school, I got invited out to different retreats, conferences, camps, and stuff like that. And so I started to learn more about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was still something I very much was hesitant about because of my first experience, it was very much like this, oh, it's this thing that happens that's very scary and out of control, and it is just uncomfortable. And the more and more I saw it, I just kept convincing myself it's this thing that people are trying to tell me to do, but I don't want anything to do with it because it's weird, you know. I just kind of kept pushing away because I was scared and I was very hesitant, and I did not want to feel uncomfortable. And so it came to a point where in grade 12 I was at a retreat with the youth group, and they taught on it and invited people to come and get prayed for. But something changed because when they taught on it and they explained it, it was able to kind of twist how I'd always thought about it, to not that just this weird experience that I was kind of scared of, but it was actually something where come and experience God more. If you want to know God more and you want to grow deeper in your relationship with Him and really experience His Holy Spirit, then this is something that is for you. And at that season of my life, it was right at a time when God was starting to become a bit more real to me, and I was kind of moving from just knowing God as kind of this religious thing, this faith that was my parents, but someone that I wanted to know more. And so for me, it was like, oh, okay, maybe this isn't just some scary, weird thing that I've seen in the past, but if it's really just about knowing God more, I want that. And so it was something clicked inside of me, and I was like, okay, I'm going to be open to this. And so I went up to the front, and some people prayed for me, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And up until that point, I had never experienced anything like that. And so I know it happened because the experience was just, it was unreal. Like Kobe described, like this warmth, and just, it was just the presence of God just filling me. And there was peace, and there was a feeling of just love, and power. And I don't know, I'm a hugger. And so my best description of that would be like if I could physically actually hug God, that would be the experience for me. You know when you get a really good hug and you just really wrap your arms around someone and you're really like, oh, that was it for me. I had a good hug from God. And so it was powerful and it was incredible and it was encouraging. But not only that, it was after I experienced that, I started to see the Holy Spirit work in me in ways that I've never experienced before. I felt empowered. I felt more bold to talk to people, to reach out to people, to share with people about Christ. And probably one thing that I saw the most and happened right away was the Holy Spirit using my gift of encouragement to share with people certain things that I felt God put on my heart. Even though if I didn't really know them or I didn't know their situation, the Holy Spirit would just be like, Reuben, that person over there, you need to go and you need to encourage them with this and share this with them and pray for them. And I would be like, okay, this is weird. They're going to be like, you're weird. Why are you coming up to me talking about this? But I would start to take that faith step and do that. I'd go up to people and share what it is that God had put on my heart. And they would just be blown away, be like, that is my situation. That I needed to hear that exactly right now. You know, thank you so much, and getting to pray for them. And so there were definitely signs of the Holy Spirit working through me. And it kind of opened the floodgates in my journey toward God calling me into ministry. And I just started to grow deeper and deeper in my relationship with Him and got to see Him use my gifts in new ways and more powerful ways and getting to impact people. I got involved in the youth group I was a part of and as a youth leader and just got to see God use me in really neat ways and also just saw myself really grow in my relationship with Him in a way that I'd never seen before either. It turned from that religious kind of my parents' faith into something where it's like, wow, God is so real and I know Him and I've experienced Him and I'm changed because of that. And so a few years later, I was at a summer camp. I was helping with the youth program at the camp, and they had like an altar call time, and I just went up to the front row just to pray and just to talk with God, and I just was still desiring more of Him. And as I was praying, I think Kobe stole some of my story. He looked at my notes before, but I just felt God saying, "Reuben, I want you to pray in tongues." And I was just like, that whole thing, I was still very hesitant on. And I think a big part of it was because I love to talk and I did not want to give up control of my tongue. And there were so many things in my life that I was able to really surrender to God and give up control of. But I was always very hesitant with the whole idea of speaking in tongues because it was kind of scary, because things that are scary to us are things that we are out of control of. Am I not right? I do not like flying because I'm in a plane where someone else is in control of that plane and it can go down under their watch. And so it's a very stressful experience for me because I am out of control and I have to give control to someone else. And that was it. That's what God was saying to me in that moment. He's like, "Reuben, you need to trust me. You need to fully just give me control." And what was different about that than compared to being in a plane is that this is God asking me to give him control. And God loves me. And I knew in that moment, God loves me and he wants good things for me. And giving up control to him shouldn't be scary, because when he's in control, things are amazing. And so I took that step and I was able to finally say, "Okay, God, I trust you. I'm giving you full control. Whatever you have for me, I want it. And I know it's going to be good." And as soon as I did that, my prayer just started to go into tongues. And it was nuts, because I'd never experienced anything like it, but it was like this freedom in my language. And I was praying, and then suddenly I was praying in tongues, and I had this freedom to be able to just pray these things that I was feeling and experiencing in a way that I could never have done in the English language. And it was also very freeing and powerful, because I was experiencing God doing something where he was in full control, and it was a fantastic place to be in. And so ever since then, I've continued to grow. I've continued to see God use my gifts and see his Holy Spirit work through me. When it comes to praying in tongues, it's something I still do personally, and it is very encouraging, but it's also something that I found it makes a huge difference when it comes to interceding for others. And one example would be just actually a couple days ago, I got a prayer request about a family that I know that is in a really, really hard spot. And you know when you hear about someone who's in a situation and then you put yourself in their shoes and you realize, like, wow, I do not know how they are going through this. And your heart just breaks for them because you couldn't imagine going through it yourself. And it was one of those situations, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to take some time and I'm going to start praying for them. But when someone is in such a tough place and your heart is breaking so much for them, you just can't, how do you pray for that? You know, in your own language, in your own words, how do I even try to pray to pray the things that will meet the needs and the heartbreak that they're going through right now? And so I just started praying in tongues, and it's just amazing, because the Holy Spirit, like Kobe says, like partners with you, and you get to pray and minister for that person and for those people in a way that I just couldn't do in my own language. And so those are the kind of experiences that I have in praying in tongues too. And so it's amazing. And even just as a pastor, when you pastor, there's a lot of situations where you need discernment. You need wisdom. And I'll tell you right now, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit giving me what I need to work through certain situations and what I do, I would be the worst pastor in the world. It would be terrible. And there are times when I do try to do things without the help of the Holy Spirit, and it is not good. And Doug's had to come and clean things up. So, and so I see that happening. I see the Holy Spirit working and doing things that are so beyond anything I could do on my own, and him minister and impact people's lives through me, through his Holy Spirit. And it's amazing. And I would never, ever, as scared as I was, and as much as I pushed back before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I think one big reason was because I knew the experience was going to be uncomfortable. And I was so happy just being a comfortable Christian. It was just so much easier not to pursue an experience like that, because it's comfortable not to. But once you step out of your comfort zone, once I stepped out of my comfort zone and experienced that, I will never, ever take it back, because God has moved in my life and used me and empowered me, and I've experienced him in ways I don't think I ever would have if I had not have had that experience. So I'm very thankful for it.
Thanks, Ruben. There's something very powerful about story, and I think that, you know, as we've been moving through this series, God in Us, it really is for us this place of invitation for everyone to press into the things of God, to recognize the Holy Spirit for who He is. You know, often what we do with the Holy Spirit is we minimize His work because we don't understand Him. We understand God the Father, we pray, we understand Jesus and the cross, but the Holy Spirit is often, you know, we minimize, not purposefully, but because we don't understand the supernatural nature of the Holy Spirit. But the truth of the matter is that the moment that we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, the Holy Spirit indwells us. He is in us. And so as we walk from place to place, wherever we're at, the Holy Spirit is there. So it makes sense that we should get to know Him. Get to know Him personally, because He has a word for us. He has a path for us, and it's such an important part of who we are as human beings who follow Jesus Christ. So really, God in us is just this invitation to press in to the Holy Spirit, press into what it is that God has. I think that Ruben said it well. You know, sometimes we tend to get into our box and we don't get outside of it. And so as long as we're running around in that box, there's a high level of comfort. But stepping out of it can be a little daunting at times. But I'll tell you what, in the world that we live in, and you know this culture that we're in and the things that we all face, you and I all face, we really need the presence of God. We need the supernatural presence of God. And sometimes the supernatural piece is what throws us off a little bit, because we're natural people. We work in this world. But the Holy Spirit is supernatural, and He is in us, and He has the answer. He has the way forward for us. And so as we press in, I think that amazing things happen. And sometimes they do may seem a little odd to us, but that is the supernatural. But we are called to be beings that hold on to the supernatural. There is nothing natural about God. He is supernatural, and so He will do what He will do. So as we move, have been moving through this series, I hope that it's been helpful for you to give you a sense of our sense of what the Holy Spirit is about. Now, we recognize, and I've said this before, but I want to say it again, in our community, there is a wide variety of Christian experience and tradition. Totally get that. And for some of you, this will be something that's brand new. So we're happy to engage with you and to extend this invitation. Does it mean that you have to be, quote, Pentecostal in order to come into this church? No, absolutely not. That's not what this is all about. This is an invitation to move forward in the things of God and the Holy Spirit, to be open to what it is that He desires to see happen in your life. We know that God has got a call upon His church. We are to be out there being the light of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I can't do that without God in me. And I can't do that without the empowerment of the Spirit in me. It just isn't going to happen. So I seek Him fully every day. You know, what is it that God will do in me that I might be a light into a dark place? That's really what this is all about. God in us. So, of course, we're always here to answer any questions that you might have about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or your own experience or what it's all about. You know, we've talked quite a bit about tongues, but, you know, that's an important part of the experience, but we don't seek after that. That's not the point. The point is that we seek the fullness of the Spirit. And you know, God gives us that as a gift as we go forward. But, you know, it's this is really about us pressing in, just getting into that hug that God has for us and listening to His voice. He will do amazing things through us and in us. This is His promise. This is what happened in Acts chapter 2, and it is for us today. It absolutely is. It is for us today. So would you stand, everybody, and I want to pray over us before we go today. Listen, this coming Sunday is, I think it's one of the first times we've done this in the 10 years that we've been here, but this coming Sunday is going to be just a gathering of worship and prayer. That's what this Sunday is going to be about. We've been praying about it, and I'm believing that there's going to be some amazing things that are going to happen. We're going to have a time of prayer for healing, because we believe that God moves in healing today. And so if there is something that you need healing for, we're going to anoint you in oil and we're going to pray for healing in your lives. If there are those that you know that are around you that don't know yet, don't know Jesus, and I've got many in my close proximity, I'm going to pray for them, and you'll have an opportunity to pray for the lost as well. I believe that this coming Sunday is going to be significant. It's going to be significant in the life of the church. So I want to encourage you to come and come with faith, believing that God has got a word for you and he wants to move through us. Father, we're thankful for you. We're thankful, oh God, that you have sent us Jesus and Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. Lord, we recognize that in our humanity, sometimes we forget that you indwell in us, that you are there. But Lord, I would pray that even after today, perhaps of hearing story and the other things that we've been teaching over the last number of weeks, that there would just be an openness, oh God, and a desire to walk in the invitation that you have for us to press into the Holy Spirit, to press into the supernatural. We recognize we need you more today than we ever have. And so, God, we just open our hearts to you and our eyes to you and our ears to you, and we say, speak, Holy Spirit, speak. Give us courage to walk forward in you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of this weekend and your day off tomorrow. We'll see you this coming Sunday.